the graduation ceremony?
It was in the auditorium, and I suppose it was evening. They had everything like that at evening, so I suppose it was. I don't remember it very much.
Was there, as you remember it, a gown that you wore and a square
Seems like it was blue,
hat?
Yes. Seems like, of course, I graduated from EOC three times, so yeah. I think it was blue, the graduation.
Did the boys and the girls wear the same outfit?
As I remember.
And was there a baccalaureate ceremony at the church?
Must have been.
You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Were there valedictorians, salutatorians, and other people who had done really well in school?
Yeah. I remember I was third in the class, or fourth, or something like that.
What recognition did you get?
Nothing.
In the program?
Yes, they had an assembly, and they read all that. And I remember sitting there, and somebody said, that was you.
Was there something called an honor roll?
Oh, yes. Yes, you were on the honor roll, mm-hmm. if you could make it.
And you'd been on the honor roll several times, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yes.
I made pretty good grades in high school.
Were these number grades or letter grades?
No, they were A, B, and C, so okay. I remember. I think.
All the grades I got in high school and before
Would
were
you
number
get
grades.
Number?
Mm-hmm. At that time that you were in school, was there any Oregon State exam in any subject?
Oregon State?
Yeah. An exam put out from the state of Oregon. Are you aware that there had been in 1915 and up till
yeah.
later there had
yeah,
been
I think I remember Mother
exams
talking about
in all the subjects?
Yes.
Yes. By that time it had dropped out of schools.
My testing came when I went over to the EOC.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, I don't know about state tests, but the tests in math and all that came over. You did that as you entered or whatever.
Oh, entrance exams. Yeah.
Now you understand that if you ask three people the same thing you've asked me and we lived together and went to school together, that our stories will all be different?
Yes.
Okay.
I know that. On certain details.
Yeah.
You said earlier that it was just an accepted fact in your household that you would go to college.
Yes, and my mother, who only made like $70 a month or something, and my dad by that time was an invalid. She saw that she put away so much money so that we could go to EOC, $25 a term.
The assumption was that you would live at home. Yes. And, of course, there was only one building on campus at that time.
At EOC?
Yes.
Yeah.
And, let's see, when did you graduate from high school? What
35.
Year? 35? Okay. So the normal school began operation in 1929.
Yeah, my brother-in-law, Eugene Bowman, he was in that first class, I think.
So going to college probably wasn't greatly different under those circumstances from having gone to high school.
Oh, I bet I had more fun because that's when I started more dating. I didn't date in high school.
Well, okay.
Well, that's part of life, having
maybe
fun.
Maybe dated a little more seriously.
Yes. No, not until I got out.
Let's stick for a bit, though, to the academic part. Of course, you took fewer classes at college than you had in high school. And that means more free time.
Are you kidding?
Yes, I'm not kidding. That is, you spend less time in class than you had in high school. And also, nobody's looking over your shoulder all the time
That's
to see
the thing.
What you're doing.
That's where the kids
so,
fail.
All right, how did you adapt to that? Making sure that you had enough self-discipline that you could continue to do good work in the courses.
Well, I think it still is based on my early training, because this happens to so many of the kids from high school going to college.
Sure.
They have trouble that first year because there's nobody to say, hey, get your work done, hey, get it in. And I had learned to do this from way back here.
Exactly how did you apply that training when you were in college?
Well, when I was supposed to study, I studied. And when
did you go to study?
Well, in the administration building, you came up the front steps and Paul went like this, and down here was the library, and you could go down there into the library and study, and this is what I did between you know.
Is that where you did most of your studying?
Yes. Well, I, you know, and I took work home all the time, too.
Do you remember what courses you took when you first got there, the first year?
I could look it up, I suppose.
English, composition, history, chemistry?
I had Mr. Johnson, who just passed away.
I don't think, I didn't have him the first year.
Did you take any work in science?
Had Dr. Geiser, who is a darling, and Dr. Kaiser, who taught English, and Miss Zabel, who taught English, and Dr. Addy, who taught psychology or something. And
why did you go,
Because she was sort of a different one. Well, anyway.
You don't want to say how she was different?
She liked boys, but she didn't care too much for the girls.
Oh. And she was from the South. She had a southern accent.
I don't think that had anything to do with it. She treated me okay. She was all right with me. If I could have carried her books for her and make my eyes wide, I probably would have done better. And
when you begin this coursework,
Dr. Skeen,
did you have clearly in your mind that you were going to be a teacher?
Couldn't be anything else. I couldn't have the money to go anywhere else. And
you're trapped.
I was trapped. But I had been in my mother's classrooms enough that I really felt this is what I wanted to be. I really, truly, truly, truly wanted to be a journalist, go into journalism. And I wanted to go to the University of Oregon. But my folks couldn't afford that at all. And so I was perfectly happy to become a teacher. And I went, I was 15 when I went over there at Christmas. I went that winter, which was 3 terms, the next summer, the next winter, did my student teacher the next summer and went out to teach at 17. See, I had 2 winters, 2 3-terms, that would be 8 terms. And I got a teacher's certificate, not a degree.
So you managed to do that at that age because you had skipped 2 grades earlier.
Not because I was any...
So you were, what?
Too darn young.
15 when you went to college?
Till Christmas. See, September, October, November, December, then I was... Because I was 17 when I went out to teach. I was the best teacher they'd ever had, they said, in the primary grade.
Do you think that the coursework at Eastern Oregon Normal School had much to do with how
yes.
well you taught?
Yes.
You really
and
do?
I think being in my mother's classroom really taught me how to teach.
I would have guessed that.
But I also want to say that the teachers I had at college then cared, most of them. And really, they really cared about their students, the ones I've named. And they really wanted us to have a better life. And it was kind of like a big family. And, of course, a lot of things have changed. But I remember we had to take one of those tests that start A is to apple, B is to bananas, and then it goes up and it gets worse and worse and worse and worse. And, you
analogies.
Know. Yeah. And... I said to Dr. Geiser, I don't think I passed that. And he said, don't worry, I don't think anybody ever did. You know, I mean, how many guys would tell you that now? But
aside from the student teaching that you did, that was 1 quarter, I suppose? 10 weeks?
Yes. And I was a teacher. Isn't that dumb?
Aside from the student teaching, do you judge that you learned anything in the other courses that you use directly in your teaching?
Oh, yes. I learned more about the world and social studies, and I grew. Part of college is just helping you grow
certainly.
Up, giving you a little time to think about what you want to be and what, you know, you need to grow up a little bit. Yeah, I did that a little bit.
Were you feeling reasonably independent from your parents by that point?
Yeah, I think enough.
Because you never lived apart from them before you went out to teach.
I did not live apart from them until I went to teach,
yeah.
No.
Yeah. That was it.
No, I didn't feel tied to, you know, I didn't feel...
Didn't that feel like a big jump?
When I went to also live by...
Yeah.
Well, when I went to teach, I boarded with a lady and a family and another teacher. And, yeah, it was a different jump. It was hard on my dad. He didn't see me every weekend. If if I didn't come home every weekend for a while, they'd come up to see me. My dad, he really hated to see his daughters leave home.
Tell me where you first taught.
I'm the first.
Which school you first taught in?
Wolf Creek out of North Powder.
Oh, yes. Was that the only job that was available at the time?
No, I don't know. Oh, I could have had one in Flora. In those days, when you graduated from college, you usually went out and taught in a small school. And then you made a reputation. And then you might be asked to teach, or you might, when you apply, they would know you're...
Sure.
And
how did you find out about the job in North Powder?
I don't know. I don't know. County school superintendent, I suppose.
Was there some...
Might have been through Mother. Maybe Mr. Sayer told Mother that it was there. I don't know.
Wasn't there some office at the college that had listings?
Yeah, I think so.
That's probably where
probably they did. Mm-hmm. Along with everything else.
You couldn't commute from Le Grand to Wolf Creek, so...
No, see, I rode the... The folks would take me, like, if this is... Folks would... Boy, I have a long history, and I haven't even got to the good part yet. well, I'm not married yet. I had a wonderful husband, and I haven't gotten to him yet. The folks would take me up to Wolf Creek on Sunday night, Sunday afternoon, and this is sometime. And the Bowman boys, the man I married, and his brother, Quentin, who lives in Salem, has written a book too, would ride back with them. But I didn't see the Bowman boys because I was up here and they were going that way. And I didn't really see my Forrester, my husband, till the Halloween dance at school when we put on a program. And then sometimes the other teacher would come home with me, and Miss Dolly Lee would flag the train, which is so interesting, in North Powder, and stop the train, and we'd get on and ride to Le Grand, and they automatically stopped here. Or we'd get on the train and get to Powder, and he'd flag it because he knew we were coming back. And then the man where we stayed in the wintertime would come through the fields where they'd cut the fences, he'd come through the fields and get us in a sleigh. And we go back.
How far was it from the train to Wolf Creek? About 5 miles?
5 miles, I imagine. And I had first, second, third, and fourth. First two years, Lelius Hind from Pendleton taught the upper grade.
Where were you staying?
Let me tell you how we got placed. I was supposed to teach the upper grades, and she was going to teach the lower grades. She was a real tall gal, real tall and real thin. She came to me just before school started and said, we were living up there together with them at the Nices, and she said, I'm just going to be too tall to teach those little kids. Like, you want to trade? I said, sure. We traded, and I taught the lower grades, and she trained the board in here, and she taught the upper grades. Now that's how I got.
This must have been a two-room school.
In the meantime, I've been on interview teams that had 8 people on it, you know. Yes, life was simpler.
In that two-room school, two beginning teachers, did you help one another?
Oh, yeah.
With specific
Everything.
Aspects of instruction? How am I going to teach this particular...
We did a lot of talking after school, and yes, Lilia-san. And then Zelma Twidwell, who lived in Wallowa County, who went from there to Wallowa County, taught this last year with me. I only taught 3 years before I was married.
Who cleaned the school?
I did. We did.
How did you manage that?
What?
How did you manage to do that?
We just stayed after school and used the oil brush on the floor and dusted and cleaned the waste.
Explain that. The oil brushes aren't used anymore.
No.
Explain that.
Why aren't they?
No. Explain
that. Oh, it was just a big brush that had a lot of oil on it. You went along and pushed it like they do on the gym floors, you know. And you could, the floors were wooden and they were oiled. Don't ask me why. I'm supposed to keep it cleaner or something. But we were at the age where there were a lot of young men around, and we'd hardly ever had to build a fire in the basement. One of the young men would come and build the fires.
These were young men who were, what, farm laborers?
No, they were farmers' sons.
Yeah,
I'll tell you. Yeah, they were laborers.
They were students, you mean?
Oh, no. Yeah. They were just young men in the valley. Uh-huh. Wanting to see what the new teachers looked like.
I imagine so.
Look at them over. Because, like I said, many a girl went out to teach married a farmer's son. Mm-hmm. The girl that went to Flora, in my place, married a guy over there. Sure. Zella May married one from Laos. You know, it's just the way it was.
What could be more natural, huh?
Yeah.
This is a continuation of the interview with Reetha Bowman. It's May 15th, 2003. One of the items that you mentioned in your notes was seeing men riding in railroad cars looking for work and asking for a handout. This was during the Depression period, was it?
Yes, and right after. After
what did people call those men who were riding the railroad cars?
Well, as I remembered, they were called hobos.
Hobos, yes.
And I do remember my father never turning anybody down, any of them down, if they needed, if they came and asking for a job or food. He always fed them outside. That I remember, he never turned anyone down because these were mostly were men really looking for work.
Mm-hmm.
Good men.
Had they come from a great distance, do you think?
I think some of them did, yeah.
Midwest? Do you think some of these men had come from the Midwest, perhaps?
Could be. I don't remember.
And why do you think they would get off at La Grande?
They were looking for work.
Well, why would they go on to Portland, where maybe there would be more jobs, or maybe not? Maybe there would be a lot of jobs around La Grande.
I have no idea. I just remember my father never turned one of them down.
Did you see some of these men?
Yes.
You remember? Do you have images of how they looked?
Well, they looked a lot like my own father, but or younger, you know. And
did they look like down and out, hungry?
Yeah.
Dirty?
Well, yes. They weren't dirty particularly. Right. They were just men that were mm-hmm. needing work. And they wanted to provide for their family, and apparently they couldn't, where they lived, they couldn't find anything.
Yeah.
So they began to travel around. And I suppose quite a few of them were single. I have no idea. I probably was, maybe 10 years old or something like that.
Would they come up to your house?
Oh, yes. They came and knocked on the door and asked for work.
Would they just walk along the street knocking on doors?
I don't know. I really don't know. Uh-huh. I just know that they knocked on ours, and as a child, of course, I was interested in it, kind of, you know.
Now, your father didn't have any work to offer them, right?
We lived on 3 acres, and he worked for the state and the county, and so, we didn't. But we did have food, and a lot of them really looked hungry, or he thought they were, and he had a big heart, and they got to eat. But he had to meet outside because he had a wife and 2 daughters, I suppose.
Was he a little bit worried about what they might do?
I suppose. Mm-hmm.
Did you ever talk to them yourself?
No.
You?
That I remember, no.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't.
What sort of food would he give them? Leftovers from the night
he'd
before?
Bring out a plate that had, vegetables and, you know, the same things that we ate.
Yeah.
And, I suppose some of them were leftovers.
Mm-hmm. I suppose they'd come during the daytime often, wouldn't they?
As far as I know,
yeah.
I don't remember any at night. I suppose we'd do the same thing, if we were out of work and couldn't find work, and if our economy doesn't pick up, there are going to be people probably looking for work that way.
Do you remember your father or mother ever talking about these men and about the conditions that they were in?
Oh, yeah. Of course, everybody talked about the Depression, when they lived back there.
Mm-hmm.
I remember my husband, whose dad owned a ranch in North Powder, talking about how many of the farmers lost their ranches during and after the Depression because they just didn't have enough money to pay off their farms, and they lost a lot. His father didn't happen to, but there were many of them that did lose their farms. Of course, I was pretty young,
yeah.
So what I remember is what I heard, I'm
yeah, sure.
Sure.
I've I remember some of that, too. I was a little younger than you, but I do remember that period and the difficulties. You also mentioned in your notes about the CC boys, their civilian conservation camp. These were all young men, and they had come from all over the United States, hadn't they?
I met a boy from Bloomington, Illinois, and one from someplace, I think in New York.
Now, how would you have met these men?
Well, I think I think we were at a church picnic at Hilgard Park, and the CC boys were stationed there. Mm-hmm. And as I remember, four or five of them came down around where we were all eating. We were family, in a family with our families, and we met these boys, and I talked to some of them. They were about my age or probably a little older.
What can you remember talking about?
Oh, where they live, where they came from, and how excited they were about being out in the mountains and with the trees and having work, having a job. A lot of these boys came from the slums and places that, you know, they wouldn't have the chances that they had. And I really approved of the CCC. They also worked at Anthony Lakes a lot around, but I didn't know any of them.
What kinds of work did you find out that they were doing?
Oh, they cleaned brush out of the mountains, and they made trails, and I suppose kept the wildfire down, you know, because they did clean out the brush and this and that. But they were, the ones I met were really nice young men. I don't know any more about them than that. I just met them, a couple of them that day.
How close did you get to the camp where they lived?
I don't remember that I did.
Because it wasn't far from the Hilgard.
No, it wasn't really far from Hilgard. I don't remember whether I saw the camp or not. I remember these boys were just walking through and stopped where we were all eating, and we got to talking, you know. It was interesting.
They weren't wearing uniforms, were they?
They were wearing some kind of work uniforms. I think they were kind of.
Were they all dressed in a similar way?
Khaki. I think so. I probably was 15 or 16, maybe. Yeah, I don't remember.
I imagine they would have been quite interested in you.
Yeah. I enjoyed visiting with them. And I thought it was neat that they could have work. And certainly the mountains needed it.
Yes, they still do.
And we can use it now.
You referred to the livestock show. I'm guessing that's the Union Livestock Show?
Yes.
Which has been going for many years, hasn't it? And the lady who was...
She rode bucking horses. I don't remember if I saw her ride.
Was she a performer, you mean?
Yes, she rode bucking horses.
She did this professionally.
And there was quite an article in the Observer one time about her. And I don't remember whether I saw her actually ride or I just saw her at the rodeo.
Can you describe in a little more detail what went on in those days at the rodeo, or... Well, the livestock show is what they called it, didn't they? It wasn't really a rodeo.
Well, they showed, people showed their animals and for prizes, mm-hmm. like they do now. I don't know if they had horse racing then or not. I don't remember that. But they had bareback riding, and saddle bronc, which is what she rode. What else did they do? Pretty much the same things they have now.
I haven't been to the livestock show, so I'm not sure what they do now. But was this a show?
You have never been to a rodeo or a livestock show?
Not Union Livestock Show.
Oh.
I've been to other horse.
I was going
to
say, you have an experience.
Yes. I should go.
To look forward to.
I should go.
You should go.
Yes, and I will. Would this have been a week-long show, Union?
I think it's about 4 days.
Oh, several hours.
Something
four
like
days.
That. Mm-hmm. Something like that. It hasn't changed much. It's gotten bigger, I suppose. But I think they do pretty much the same thing. My own children were in 4-H and showed, at that time we had sheep and they showed lambs. And my daughter had a horse and she showed horses. And they showed animals and did what they called showmanship, which is showing their animal off. And then they competed for prizes.
Which is still being done, I suppose, in much the same way at the Union County Fair.
Yeah. As a child then, I didn't belong to it. I didn't show anything in it, so I don't really know as much about it then as I did when my own. But my own, the oldest son is 62, so, you know, that's back there. Always.
Was there anything else about that event that would have drawn people from La Grande to over to Union?
Well, the fact is we did not have a lot of entertainment, so it was quite the entertainment of the year, you know, in the spring. Because there weren't a lot of things to do around La Grande then. And I think the college was started in 29. I think the first class graduated in 29.
The school opened in 1929.
Maybe that was it. But, you know, there was not a lot to go to, so people went to the... And most of the people around here were farm people, so they were interested in horses and showing animals. And we didn't have the big city urban stuff, you know. Sidewalks, a lot of sidewalks and things. And
what other things were there to do around Union when you went to one of those shows? Or was that the only thing?
Oh, they always had a carnival, I suppose. They've had them for years, and I'm sure they had a carnival of some type, which was good for kids and adults.
Mm-hmm.
I love to ride the merry-go-round. I'll have to tell you a story about that, the Livestock Show. My father, who would be way over 100 now, he'd probably be 124 or more, said that he rode his horse to Union to see a man that hung. I think he was a horse thief, if I remember correctly. But he rode his horse from Cove to Union when he was about 13 or 14 to see this man hung. And then he said, you know, when I got there and they got ready to hang him, he said, I shut my eyes and I didn't see any of it. I would have too.
Do you suppose then that hangings were always public?
Apparently. Hmm. Apparently. And stealing horses was way up on the list for no-no.
You were never invited to witness a hanging?
No. I think that's the only person around here that was ever hung for the, you know. And, of course, I just remember what my dad said. I didn't see it. Yeah. I wasn't even born then, of course. But I've always thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it is. It's probably written down somewhere.
Right, so.
Have you got any material there you can really use?
Oh, yes. Speaking of animals, you referred to your mother riding horseback partway to the school at Willowdale because the creek flooded in the spring.
And that isn't too far from here, you know.
So was she commuting, as it were, to Willowdale from the house on H Street?
Well, she drove her car out to Bates's, I think. Got on a horse there. Now, this was just in the spring when Catherine Creek used to flood every spring. It hasn't been too many years since it did it. Not very far out here past the airport.
Mm-hmm.
She'd get all out of her car and onto one of the horses that Mr. and Mrs. Bates had and ride a ways and through the water to Willowdale School.
There really was no
of course, she taught the Cartwright triplets, which is Burr Cartwright, Betty Graham, and Bernice Graham.
And there really was no other way to get to the school from La Grande.
You could go to Hot Lake and come back around. But that wouldn't be handy for her because it flooded over there too,
mm-hmm.
you know. So this was the handiest, and she could get a horse mm-hmm. from Bates.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember seeing those, some of those floods?
Oh, yes.
How widely spread was the water?
Do you want me to get into a sermon on this valley and the fact that they did not take flood control and dam up the river when they should have?
I'd be glad to hear your opinions on that, yes.
Well, it's pretty strong. I have a brother-in-law who is in the State Water Resource Board who got the Wolf Creek Dam in, where those farmers can water all of their land at a really low price. He tried to get it in here, and between the Indian, this is what I've heard. Now, these things you don't, unless you're right in it, you can't prove all it. But the Indians were against them doing anything about Catherine Creek because of their fishing rights. And the farmers of this valley were not progressive enough to say, hey, and back up. But that's neither here nor there now.
One of the many points of tension between the needs of farmers and others in the valley and nature's way of doing things.
Yeah. But you could help nature without hurting it if you worked at it correctly.
That's what we would like to think. Yes,
and I think we can.
That's what engineers, for the most part, I think, try to do.
They did a good job in the North Powder area, so...
Mm-hmm.
They should have had me on the soapbox then, shouldn't they?
Well, maybe. Well, another subject that I would be interested in hearing you give some details about is Zuber Hall and the dances that they had there to an orchestra by a man who was well-known.
Dick Lindsay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Were you going to dances there when you were a teenager?
Oh, yeah.
All right, so you probably have fairly vivid memories.
Yeah.
I know where Zuber Hall is, but would you say specifically where it was?
It was where, if I'm correct, Pat Alley's with your parking lot,
yes.
And Goss's.
On Washington Street.
Yeah, on Washington. Run by Mr. and Mrs. Buell, mm-hmm. who were very careful about who came in. If anybody was drinking, they saw that they were, didn't come in or they were out. And many of us, many of the kids I grew up with, spent every Saturday night dancing, and in those days you had a big stag line over here and a big bunch of girls over here, so you were very fortunate you got to dance with a lot of gentlemen, and very few of you went steady, until you got up way up into college anyway. So it was just a fun time, and you could walk home. My sister and I could walk home all the blocks from Zuber Hall to H Street. No worry about being out at night or in the dark or anything. Nobody ever bothered anybody.
Could you describe the building both inside and outside in more detail?
Well, the building was a big wooden building as far as I remember. And inside it was, it was a large one with a big stage up here. Of course, I was younger. Maybe the stage and everything wasn't as big as I think it was then.
The stage was for the band?
Yes. And Avery Mellering and Clark Wheeler and Lauren Blanchard and a lot of those played instruments. And I think Avery played the piano. And I don't know, it was just a fun time. I danced there through college and 3 years before I was married. Most of us. Even if we were, I shouldn't say every weekend, I guess, because there'd be a few that I didn't come home.
Mm-hmm. Was it possible to do any, was the hall designed for anything else other than dances?
I have no idea. I don't know. I don't remember what else.
You only went there on Saturday nights,
right?
Is that it?
Well, and I just don't remember. They may have had dinners and things there. I don't know. Mm-hmm. That didn't attract me.
Did they serve any food or beverage during the dances?
No. That I remember. Did anybody else mention the Zuber Hall?
Yeah.
Quite a few people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was another form of entertainment that everybody could go to, and it was clean. They did keep it clean, you know.
I wonder if it would have been possible for the Buells to earn a living operating this place.
Oh, I think they did.
How much did it cost to get in?
I don't know.
It must not have been very
much. A quarter, probably. Mm-hmm. Probably a quarter. New Beach, you could go to for a quarter. Mm-hmm. For a while.
What was that?
Movies,
oh yes. Yeah.
Two for a quarter. But I don't remember too much about them. Mm-hmm.
You said you could dance with a number of different gentlemen during an evening. Does that mean that you met a number of people there that you wouldn't have met otherwise?
Right. And, of course, I knew quite a few of them, but I also met new people, too. And so, you know, it was kind of nice in a way. You met a lot of people that you had experience meeting several people instead of being attached to one person and not, of course, every generation has their own opinion, but we had fun.
Did you dress up?
Oh, yes. We always dressed up nicely. Mm-hmm. A lot more than I do now.
Everybody had a bath recently?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Everybody was clean.
Were there girls wearing
by that time, everybody in town had a bathroom and had water in the house. Pretty much everybody, let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No problems that way.
Claude Anson told me that at least the farm people on Saturdays always took their bath on Saturday and then came into the Rand and walked up and down Adams Avenue just to meet each other. And maybe occasionally went to a show, but mostly just to meet other people and talk.
Right, and when I was a little girl, my mother would take Reva and I, and she would park on Main Street. And even up to the time I had my children, one of the amusements in town was just parking along the street and watching people walk up and down the street. It's hard to believe, isn't it?
Yes, what was amusing about that?
People are funny. You know. But everybody did it. It wasn't something, it wasn't something unusual.
I suppose you would talk about them also.
Yes, I suppose some, but mostly it was just watching people go by. And it's kind of like if you're at a carnival or someplace and all these people go by and you're curious. You notice what kind of clothes they have on and what they're doing or saying. And people didn't have a lot of money, so this was one way of entertainment, watching people walk by. Just like Claude said, walking up and down the sidewalk. But you could also sit in your car and watch them.
A passing parade, you might say.
Yes.
People still love to go to parades just to watch other people, and animals, of course. Some of the people who perhaps were especially interesting to watch were the evangelists who came to town once in a while.
Believe me, they preached hell and damnation. And when you left one of those, and of course I was little, and probably I don't remember any after maybe I was 15 or something. But I mean, you went out there shaking, and you behaved. I mean, they didn't get up there and be liberals, you know.
They were very graphic about
very
punishments
graphic,
for sin.
Very graphic.
Mm-hmm. Where were they? Where did they hold forth?
Usually in the church, although I don't know where now, because don't ask me where. But I have been in a tent and listened to them too. Mm-hmm. But I don't remember where the tent was.
That used to be rather common.
Oh, okay.
They would come with
somebody else remembered.
Oh well. Not just here, but in many places.
Oh, I don't remember that. But I do remember
traveling shows. I'd spend 2 or 3 days apparently in every
town. Everybody went because, yes, it was another cheap amusement.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not saying that they didn't have their belief. People believe too, but it was a show, and it was scary for the kids. I don't know if it scared the parents any, but It's kind of like Irma Bombeck said, we used to be afraid of what our parents thought and what God thought and what, and I suppose the evangelist was telling us, see. So we didn't do things that we would have done because...
It was a fear factor, all right.
Yeah, we cared what they, you know, thought.
Do you remember hearing them describe the flames of hell and how they would lick about your feet and your ankles?
Oh, yeah, that type of thing, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. But,
did
yeah.
Did you do anything or were you changed in any way by hearing them talk?
I don't think so. I was
did
too
you,
young to be changed
did
by.
Did you think that they were maybe somewhat funny?
What?
Did you think they were somewhat funny?
No.
None of that?
Not then. Not just looking back on it. Mm-hmm. No, I didn't think it was very funny then. But
was there singing too?
Oh, yes. People sang. And if people went forward, you know, joined the church. But they were, sometimes I wonder if we need that once in a while again, although I don't necessarily condone it.
They're available on television now.
Yes, yes, and I don't watch them. How are we doing?
Talk more about a man's handshake being his word.
Yes, it was. And I can remember my father talking about that, and my father-in-law. And I can remember when we bought this place, the gentleman that we bought it from, he and Forrest shook hands on it. And then we, you know, went ahead and put the money in escrow and did all the things, got the papers and things. But... when he shook that man's hand, that was it. That sealed the bargain. Doesn't anymore. In many cases.
Was it your belief that once that happened, there was no going back on your word?
That's right. Unless they both decided to, you know, that they had an agreement. But I remember that plain as anything, because, you know, we discussed buying it and looked into it and talked to the gentleman and all this several times, and he came over one morning while we were eating breakfast and said, well, first you bought a barn, and shook hands, and that.
And how did knowing that a man's handshake was sealing the deal help people's relationships?
Well, I think there was more trust in your fellow man, you know. If you could do this with just a handshake and not a bunch of papers, or I think it just added to trust and friendship, and I'm sure there were cases when maybe it didn't work, even
sure.
Then. I'm not
yeah.
saying it was always perfect.
Well, what were some of the other effects of feeling as though you could trust of someone's words?
I don't understand what you mean.
What were some of the other effects in other parts of life, perhaps? Of, I mean, we're talking here about a property deal, but I suppose you mean you could shake hands on many other.
I'm sure you could.
Other points that people might want to agree over.
I don't. Of course, I was too young probably to be to remember what ones those might be, but I'm sure you're right that this spread into the. How you felt secure working with other people. That their word was good.
Yes, yes. I just thought you might remember other ways in which you noticed the good effects of that.
No. Well, when I got, maybe I could use this for an example. When I applied for the first place I taught, then I talked to this board members. Two of them, and they said, you have a school. I didn't worry about it. I knew if they told me that, I would have a school.
Were they telling you this in earlier part of the year, well before September?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I applied before September,
yeah.
But when they, you know, when I talked to them, and at the end of all this, they said, you have a school, then I knew I had a school. I knew they weren't going to renege.
When would you get a piece of paper that said you had a school?
Pretty quick. Okay. And I think it came through the county school superintendent, but I'm not sure.
By the way, had you had to interview in any way to get a position in the school?
I have never been interviewed.
Well, tell me how that worked then. They just knew about you from other people and thought that was enough basis?
Well, I suppose they knew my mother and knew she had a good reputation. I suppose you would call that an interview because I talked to them.
Well, yes.
That was, I suppose, the kind they had then.
Not know, very formal.
Not very formal. And when I went, when I taught at Lad Canyon, I called the chairman of the board and said, I hear your teacher is not coming back next year, and I would like to apply for the job. And of course, the man I was talking to was in the eighth grade when I was in the first, and he said, "Well, yes, we are looking for a teacher." And he said, "We're going to have a board meeting Friday night," and I said, "You want me to come out and talk to you?" And he said, "Oh no, we know all about you. You have a school." Then when I moved to Union, where I taught 4 years, the principal from over there came to see me out at Lad Canyon, and he'd heard about me. And then I told him I went back over later and found out what kind of a job I was going to have. And he said, "I need someone to teach split grades." I said, "Well, I certainly can do that. I taught 4 classes at once, so I guess I can teach a 4th, 5th grade." "See, if you've got a job." And then when I came to LeGrand, the principal down the city wanted me and wanted me to come over and told me that there was a vacancy. I was at the public library when the superintendent called and said, "Could you come up to my office?" So I went up to his office and... he said, "Well, what do you think about reading?" And that's when, and I, "Well, I believe in it." And when I was going to be interviewed, I walked around and got on his side of the desk, and I said, "Oops, off to a good start." Anyway, he said, "Well, Ron, Mr. Lovely wants you at Island City," and he said, "We know enough about you," and that's where I went. And then as I moved up in the district, I was never interviewed, and yet I myself have been on an interview teams with 6-7 people that scare the poor interviewee to death, and you don't really learn anything about them. You don't learn how, whether they can teach or not. You just learn whether you scare them to death or not.
You reminded me.
You don't need to put all that in.
You reminded me that you taught in Union. Were you living in Union?
No.
At the time you
but
were?
At that time, they would like to have you live where you taught. That, I said, "I can't move the farm over here, George."
Right.
And but that was the end of that.
This would have been in the 1940s, perhaps?
We moved out here, no, it would be later. We moved out here in 55. And I was teaching, I taught 2 more years in town, 3 days a week. Not 58.
I see. Well, how aware were you at the time you were teaching in Union of the Union Hotel?
They were renting out apartments in it then.
Mm-hmm. Did you hear people talk about what the hotel had been in earlier years?
It was quite a nice hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, can't remember the names of people that ran it when I was there, but because the freeway did not go through Union, I presume, and went this other way, they lost a lot of trade.
Right.
And so they at that time had put it into apartments. And that's all I know about it then. You know, I guess I was in it a time or two, just looked around, you know.
Did it have a pretty rundown quality at that time, as you looked at it from the outside?
A little more than it was when it was really a hotel, but those people kept it pretty well for taking care of that whole big thing and not making much money on it. Well, I don't
see how they could.
made a difference when the freeway did not go through Union, which is where it should have. We wouldn't have all these trucks stuck up Lab Canyon. Mm-hmm. Don't put in my opinions. Well, I don't mean make them.
There's nothing wrong with your opinions.
Well.
There are two or three items you wrote about that have to do with farm products. There were a lot of creameries around Union County at one time, and you recalled seeing a truck, I guess, come by and pick up cream?
I do not mean, we did not have that here, but my mother-in-law in North Powder, yes, the cream man came and she could sell, she got the money from the cream and from eggs. Mm-hmm. That was her pocket money. Yes, I've seen that there, that not here. Not with me.
So do you think the system was in earlier years here for the person who operated the creamery come out and pick it up rather than having farmers deliver it in town?
Right. That's what I knew then.
Did you ever look closely at those trucks?
Uh-uh.
I wonder if they were refrigerated in any way.
Probably not. Well, I don't know. I bet they were in Powder because Powder had a place for a long time.
Ice.
So they probably did have ice in them. I don't know about the others. Mm-hmm. And I never did go out and look in the truck. They just came and got it and picked it up. I think they left their cream out by the mailbox or put it out there early or something.
I guess the idea was that cream didn't spoil quite as quickly as milk. Is that right?
Must not have. I don't know.
Were they using the cans that we still see, the shiny
metal
cans with the round top?
And we first moved here, there were several of those on the ranch. Mm-hmm. And I presume these people, the gentleman down the road, Art McCall, had a dairy for a long time, even after we moved here. And then the rules and restrictions just got to where he couldn't afford to hack it, you know, anymore.
Yeah. How were they, you said that they, several people sold eggs also, and they were picked up the way the cream was?
I think they were, but I'm not sure about that. She may have taken them into town. I'm not sure about that.
How were eggs transported at that time? I don't suppose they had the paper cartons that they do now.
You're asking me some tough questions. Well, how did they get their eggs to town? I wish my husband was alive. He could tell you how his mother
got... Eggs are kind of hard to transport, wouldn't you agree? Just be rather careful with
them. She had something she put them in.
Maybe sawdust or
something.
Excelsior?
Something. Mm-hmm. I don't remember. I just know that she could use the money from the eggs and the cream for her spending money. Because she didn't work out life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And making cottage cheese. I remember,
I love that.
I remember as a little boy seeing the process that I think you saw. So describe it. How's
well, my mother would, let's see. I don't know how she started out. Did she cook it?
You had to get the curd somehow, didn't you?
She heated it some way. And then put it in this, like a real clean white dish towel. Mm-hmm. Except it was, I don't think they called it a dish. You know, it was that kind of material.
Mm-hmm. Like and a bag, wasn't it?
A bag. Mm-hmm. And hung it up. And I can remember it dripping. Mm-hmm. And that's the best cottage cheese I've ever eaten, and they don't make it like that anymore. They stick all that stuff in it now.
So you're a little vague about what you had to do before you put it in the bag?
Yes, I don't remember. Mm-hmm. It seemed to me like she heated it, but I'm not. Mm-hmm. You'd have to do something like that.
I don't think so.
One thing I do remember, too, though, is seeing a hog butcher. This big old hog dipped in this hot water and then scraped to take off all the hair. Mm-hmm. And now I don't remember seeing it butchered, but I must have. But I do remember, it's just a picture in my mind of this, putting them in this hot water. I was probably 12 years old or something like that. And you had to scrape the hair off and then they cut it into hams and this man hung it up. And in those days, people salted, can you imagine that? Salted their meats
to keep them from spoiling, and hung them in a, and smoked them. Hung them in a, what they call a smokehouse, and smoked them.
Without a freezer, what else, how else are you going to preserve it?
I mean, no other way, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you remember eating meat that had been preserved that way?
Yeah, tasted really good. Mm-hmm. But now they'd be warning you about the salt in it.
Yeah, but
I'm sure that the cooks washed a lot of that salt off.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
but this salted or preserved meat could be fried, chops fried, or roasted, or bacon. All those kinds of mm-hmm. variations on eating pork.
And what? And pig's feet.
Mm-hmm.
And Sam, what did they? They made some kind of a sausage that they put in the intestine.
Uh-huh.
And I can remember some of that. See, then when the folks butchered this hog, uh-huh. Some of those steps. Now, I'm sure I didn't stand and watch all that because it probably went over several days. But I remember some of that.
Didn't anybody but
those were good days.
Yes. Did anybody put you to work helping with that?
Oh, I'm sure they did because they didn't believe in their kids. Everybody believed their kids having lots of, you know, spare time.
Mm-hmm.
And you were expected to help the family.
So why should you sit around?
Mm-hmm.
You should be working.
They didn't have you for just looking at you.
Indeed. So you remember eating the cottage cheese. Would this be served with each meal, or when would you eat it?
Oh, I'm sure she made it every once in a while. I'm sure you had to store up enough.
I'm just working.
Curdled milk or whatever it was.
Understand what part of the menu it was.
Oh, it was just put on the table in a bowl and you ate it with the other food. We had lots of vegetables because almost everybody had a big garden.
Could you eat it for breakfast, lunch, or dinner?
Sure.
All right.
Sure.
That's what I was getting at.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if I did, but but I do remember it was very good and it was much better than what they, I think, than they have now.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we should talk a little about your finding yourself a husband. I think you said you married two, 3 years after you started teaching.
I taught 3 years mm-hmm. and was married at the end of the third year.
And you also said that a lot of the young women teachers married sons of farmers nearby.
Yes, you see, when you went
they
out...
they would come in and help at the school.
Yes.
Is that how you met your husband?
No, he didn't. No. See, at one time, a teacher that went out, a young girl that went out to teach was quite a catch because the farmers wanted their sons to marry somebody who, you know, had an education or this or that, and so it was quite a you were really most popular than you'd ever been in your life because we laughed because I had a contract for Flora, which is way over in Lowell County, and then I received this one from up here, so I chose this one. Well, later I met the girl who took my job in Flora. And she married a farmer's son over there. And I said, well, do you suppose that if we'd have switched jobs, we would have married each other's husbands? Because it's just sort of the end thing.
Can you tell me how he approached you?
Well, yes. Let's see. I was going with a boy that was teaching. He got out of college at the same time I did, this boy, and he was teaching in Lost Theme. And so I went up there, and I wasn't particularly thinking about any other young man, although we were not really serious, but we had a good time together, you know, and I liked him. But anyway, so I didn't... the folks would take me up to teach. They would take me up to where I boarded.
Was this in Wolf Creek or Lost Theme?
Yes, no, in Wolf Creek, to where I boarded. And then they would pick the Bowman boys up, and they'd ride back down to college. They were going to college.
and I was up there. So I didn't even see Forrest.
The Holman boys lived in North Powder, is that right?
On the ranch, out of Powder, yeah.
Okay.
And so I didn't really see him till Halloween, because he was coming this one, I was going that one, mm-hmm. and I suppose he was going with somebody else from Baker, and I was involved with this one.
Mm-hmm.
And at school, they had a Grange Hall right next to the school, and of course, you know, here we are into these programs. We put on this big Halloween program and danced in them. And he came up, and he came and introduced himself and danced with me. And he loved to hunt, and he rode a horse beautifully, and he'd ride them up into the mountains to hunt. And he went to college till about Christmas, but he'd been on a tower that summer. And when he got to college, he was behind. His brother was going here, but he started right at the beginning.
You mean a fire watch tower, don't you?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And his folks wanted him to run the ranch, to help run the ranch. So he quit college and went to the farm. And we started going together. And went together a couple of years off and on.
What did going together mean then?
Well, let's see. He'd come down, he'd bring me home. He came and asked me if he could bring me home for Christmas. So he brought me down for Christmas and came back and got me in New Year's, and we went to the movies. And you didn't eat out much in those days. I don't remember that we ever ate out. We'd have like a milkshake or something, but we didn't. But we would see a movie. And, then, I don't know. He was redheaded. A wonderful man.
How did he propose?
Well, it was very romantic. We'd gone together, and he wanted to get married, and I wasn't ready, and so we broke up. And then later, we went back together again, and so he drives me up one night under this big pine tree that's up, still there up Wolf Creek, and says, "Okay, now we've got to stop all this foolishness. When we get married," that was my